Morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 24. That's page 1122 in your pew Bibles. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friend and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for seeking out the lost, for bringing them back, Lord, to your pasture. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, for your son, Lord, who died for us, to redeem us to you, Lord. As we gather here this morning, may you open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, Lord. Let us hear your word. Let us apply it in our lives, Lord. Please be with the pastor as he delivers the message. And just allow us, Lord, to have fellowship with each other in the rest of the day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. From time to time, you'll hear reports of people and children lost in our vast forests in Canada. And you'll hear about the stories of someone or the story of someone who thought he was going the right, or at least he thought that he was doing well, and then very soon he'll return back home. And yet he, when the sun was going down and was getting darker, he or she realized, or they realized, that they were lost. And so they try hard to find themselves back, and yet they could not find their way back home. It is a scary situation. The government warns people not to do that because it costs the government a lot of money to send helicopters or people to look for them, and yet this happens very often. Many of those who were lost thought that they were doing well. each case and each story is different. Have you ever been lost? Maybe not in a forest, but just the same. Being lost is a terrible thing. The only experience I've had is in my dreams. I don't know how many of you have crazy dreams that you are lost somewhere. You are in a different country or somewhere that you don't recognize and you are trying to go back home or find your way out of that situation and you can't. You wake up. Well, there are a lot of people who are lost. There is a serial television drama called Lost, and I believe it's coming to an end. Its promo trailer is the first verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The other day I was reading some letters to an editor, or I do like reading letters to the editor. I don't know, for one reason or another, I'm fascinated with the letters that people send in. This one here, I found it very interesting because I had decided to speak about being lost, and then this letter said, "I'm lost and confused. Help." Hi, I was brought up in a non-religious family. I recently have been looking into religions, but I'm just stuck. I was looking at Judaism, Christianity, and Buddhism, but I'm still stuck. I can live with beer, sex before marriage, but I want to go to heaven. I was wondering if anyone could help me find the religion that suits me. She's laughing. Well, a lot of people are looking for a religion that suits them. A lot of people are looking for a religion that will cater to their wants and to what they are comfortable with. And yet, after a while, they are lost. They don't know where to go, and most of the comments I hear when I talk to people about faith in God, they will tell me that they are very confused. Because for a moment they thought they had found the right religion, and they started going to that particular church or group, or listen to those messages, and they were very satisfied, and yet they realized that nothing would satisfy their soul, the emptiness in their life. The message today is about three different ways of being lost, but each story has a happy ending. All the things that were lost were eventually found in the parable Jesus told them in Luke 15. How many parables are there in Luke 15? The right answer is one. In verse 3, we read, Jesus told them this one parable. It is a parable about being lost and found. And Jesus gave it in three different pictures. First, lost like a sheep. I can almost see the shepherd counting his sheep into the fold and at the end of the day using a stick. He reaches number 99 and says to himself, I must have made a mistake. So he counts them all over again, 97, 98, 99. Where is the other one? Is, he thinks, maybe he's hurt. Maybe this little sheep needs my help. Or maybe he's tired or is lost. So the shepherd goes out there in the darkness to search and find that lost sheep. He goes over hill and valley. He goes cold and wet and tired. Finally, he reaches a rocky hillside full of thorns and finds the lost sheep. He puts it on his shoulders and carries it into the fold. The fold, the story tells us two things. First, the kind of animal a sheep is. A sheep, by nature, is senseless. It doesn't look where it's going. That is the nature. So when it is lost naturally. Second, the kind of person the shepherd is. The senseless sheep does not look where it goes. The loving shepherd, though, does not care where he goes to find the lost sheep. You and I are like lost sheep. The Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. So the first example or the first picture talks to us about the lost sheep. The second one is the lost silver coin. Verses 8 and 10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light up and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? This woman had just 10 silver coins, maybe just enough to pay her rent, but her little pouch tore open and her coins were scattered. She starts to gather all her coins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 9? There should be 10. So she starts once again looking. So she lit up a lamp, searched carefully, and until she found that coin. The difference between the sheep and the silver coin is this. The sheep could bleat, it could cry so that the shepherd could hear and help and find the sheep. The sheep was lost naturally, but the coin was lost helplessly because it could not do anything to get back to its owner. The third example is lost like the prodigal son. Prodigal means reckless, squandering, wasteful. The young man wanted to go his own way. He was lost, not naturally, not like the sheep, not helplessly like the silver coin, but willfully. He decided to leave home. I'm sure most of you know the story of the prodigal son by heart. He wanted freedom to enjoy life and to do things his way, but then after he got his freedom, he squandered his wealth in wild living. In other words, he had what the world calls today a good time with plenty of money. But then he ran out of money and he became very poor. And he was treated very badly. His friends left him, and the only company he had now were pigs that were he was hired to feed. And today, my dear friends, when you go out in the streets and you find some of these beggars, when you find some alcoholics or some drug addicts, and you want to ask them why did they end up there, some of them will have their own stories, and yet you will find one or two who will tell you a story that will break your heart. They wanted to have a good time. They wanted to find something that they could not find in a very normal circle of people in their families. They wanted to enjoy life. They wanted to have freedom. They wanted to do things that no one will tell them not to do. And they left home, and then eventually they hooked up with the wrong crowd and they started doing things that gave them pleasure and they thought, this is what I wanted and this is my family. They love me. They care for me. They are taking good care of me. They will always be there to help. That is until their money or their health or whatever they had to offer comes to an end and they are rejected, or they are hooked to something that will become their master and they will be chained to that something that they thought would give them freedom. And often 1 hour's of pleasure or 1 year's of pleasure will bring them to the end of disaster and hell. So this young man left home. They were two brothers. Well, both of them worked in the farm, yes, but also they had nice suppers together, nice lunch, they had the company of each other, and yet he wanted more. And the world offered this man more for his soul. And he had to sort of surrender his soul, if you wish. He was hungry, lonely, and depressed. He was helplessly lost. But he came to his senses. In plain language, he said to himself, I have been a fool. His father could have told him that when he left home, but that's how it goes. We find out for ourselves how hard sin is. In Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, the way of the unfaithful is hard. So he decided to go back to his father, and he started rehearsing what to say to him. He probably said, okay, I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, no, that's not how I'm going to start. And he rehearsed, and he sort of planned it all so nicely, so well. And he said that probably 10, 20 times, and now he said, I'm ready. I'm going to go and tell my father this. And he started going toward his father, and then from far away, his father saw him, and his father did not even wait for him to come home. He just ran toward him, the Bible says, and hugged him and started kissing him. Now, the good thing, or at least the wonderful thing that we see in this picture, is a filthy, dirty, maybe smelling like a pig, son comes to his father who is nice and clean and full of love and compassion, and he doesn't even want to approach his father because he knows how filthy he is, but his father does not care. He doesn't say, well, okay, you know, you stay there. I told you that. You remember I told you 10 times, don't leave home, because, and now that you are in such a mess, you come back home, right? Okay, you're coming back for what? And first of all, let's go and decide some things or discuss some things. You clean up yourself. No, he didn't say any of this. He just hugged him and kissed him and forgave him in his heart. Well, this is the picture of the lost son. Verse 20 says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father not only received his son the way he was, but also forgave him and even threw a party for him. Why? Because the father said, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In this parable, we have three persons: the shepherd, the woman, and the father. The shepherd represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The father represents God's attitude to the sinner. The woman represents the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to seek and find us and suffered to save us when we were lost. God, our Father, waits and welcomes us when we come back to Him. The searching woman is a picture of the Holy Spirit who convicts us. You may feel that you are a good man. You may feel you are a good woman or a young person. You may feel that you have not broken any of the main and major laws. You may feel that you are a Christian because you've been going to church for such a long time. Or you may feel you're not a Christian, good Christian, because you have not been going to church for a while. You may feel you are a terrible sinner because you are hooked on something and you can't go back. No, you can't, because you have already messed up your life completely. You may feel like the prodigal son, that you have ended up with pigs, and not necessarily literally with pigs, but with attitudes, with problems, with friends, with a circle of people, or with whatever it is you are surrounded with, and you feel lost and unable to go back to your family or to the living God. But remember, God has created us. And every time I speak of a change in the human being, I remember of Nebuchadnezzar, who, when he rejected God, he turned his back to God, he became like a wild animal. And he was wandering everywhere, just like a wild animal. And then the Bible says, and when he came to his senses and lifted up his eyes and asked God's forgiveness, then he was restored completely. And I also remember David, King David, when he sinned against God, and he committed sins that were terrible. He cheated on his wife, he slept with his neighbor's wife, and then he had him murdered, and then he brought her home and married her, and all kinds of mess he got himself into. And then for a year he was covering up those sins. But the Bible says his bones were aching. He was wasting away. There was nothing left from the old David. He was a miserable king who could not even sleep well. He could not sing. He could not pray. Why? Because he had given into a temptation that was far away there. He could have turned his eyes away and not fall into that temptation. We all have been tempted, and we are being tempted. We all have given into temptation at one time or another. We all, I believe, have sinned and have done things that we are ashamed of. And we all would like to wipe that past away completely, and yet we can't. We are lost. Visiting people, talking with people, and sharing the good news with people often brings me to the place where I have to say to the person that I'm counseling or talking or witnessing to, you seem to be lost. You seem to be confused. And the person usually responds, yes, yes, man, it's full of hypocrites. The churches are full of hypocrites. The radio station has all kinds of programs. One contradicts the other, so I am lost. Or they will say, I can't be restored. It's too late for me. I've gone too far in my wild living. Or I have gone too far into sin, and I cannot be restored. Well, there are three things that we just said this morning. We said about the sheep, naturally he was lost. Well, we all are naturally lost. It's not the fault of a little baby when he's born that is born with a tendency of being selfish, that grabbing somebody else's food or a toy. It's not the fault of a little baby to want to lie when he or she does something. It's not the nature. And then there is the coin that was lost. the coin was lost completely and had no way of being restored until someone went and looked for it. While we are, like the sheep, naturally lost, lost in such a way that only God could come and save us and find us. And then we are like the prodigal son who had to choose between staying home and going away. And we were lost willfully. We had the free will to say yes or no to God. And nevertheless, we are lost. We were lost. The whole parable is a picture of ourselves. We are lost in all three ways. Like the sheep, we are lost naturally. It is our nature to go our own way. Like the silver coin, we are lost helplessly. We can do nothing toward our salvation. Now, if that was all, then we could not be blamed for it. But we are like the prodigal son, lost willfully. We must come to our senses and see how foolish and wrong it is to stay away from God, and then come to Him, confess our sins, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and enjoy His welcome. Now, you may be a believer, a member of a church, and yet you may feel that you are lost, and not know which way to turn, or how to deal with the situation you find yourself in. Or you may feel lost in the spiritual confusion you are in, and you want finally find peace and security here on earth and the assurance of an eternal life in the presence of God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, and you will find rest for your soul." Unless we make peace with God, I believe we will never find rest. We may practice religion. We may practice Christianity. We may practice churchianity. We may pretend to be very happy. But unless that vacuum that exists in our hearts is filled, we will never be happy. We talked about healing this morning in our adult class. And healing is not only the healing of the body, but it is the healing of the total being. It's the total of Joseph, the heart, the soul, the mind, the body. It's all a package deal. And I believe God can affect every facet of our life. He can affect my soul, He can affect my mind, He will change my attitudes, He will change me completely. But like the prodigal son, each one of us has to make up our minds. You may say, well, I'm a born-again believer, and yet I have wandered away, and yet I'm doing things that I don't want to do, but I cannot stop. Some of you may say, well, what are you preaching? Are you an evangelist? Do you think this is a crusade talking about being saved? I believe that Jesus' message always was about salvation, about the assurance of our salvation. John the Baptist's message was, confess your sins and turn away from your sins. God said to the people of Israel, unless you humble yourselves and you pray and you turn away from your sins, I will not forgive your sins, and I will not bless you, and I will not heal your land. I believe what we're suffering from, we as human beings, we as Christians, so often Christians are so unhappy. They are searching for something, and yet it seems that they can never reach it. They practice religion, and yet they cannot find that joy that comes when we turn to God and ask Him to take over my life, your life. Like the prodigal son, we must look back. The prodigal son was not born with the pigs. The prodigal son did not find himself in a bad situation from the start. He was in a good family, and we were in a good family with God at creation, and yet when we sinned and turned our backs to God, we lost His blessings. And this morning I would like to encourage every one of us to sort of look around us and see whether there are any of our loved ones that they feel lost. And maybe we can reach out and help them to and bring them the good news of being found and rescued and helped. Maybe you feel that you are lost spiritually and you want to be found by God and restored and receive that which you've been searching for all your life, peace, joy, acceptance, the eternal hope of eternal life. And if you are feeling that way, I believe the only thing you can do is, like the prodigal son, say, I'm going to go to God and ask Him to forgive me and give me a new beginning, a new start. And if you are a born-again believer, wonderful. See whether there is something that you should deal with. If you've never invited Christ in your life, and if you've never made Him your Lord and Savior, I know this sounds cliche, this sounds like, but this is serious stuff. This is dealing with our own soul and our own future and our own joy and happiness and eternal life. So please take it seriously. Let's make peace with God and invite Him to come into our life and give us that which is missing. That is His peace, His joy, and His salvation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for being so kind, so compassionate. Like the father of the prodigal son, You've been waiting for each one of Your people, of Your creation, each one of us to come to You. And those who came, Lord, to You, they have been forgiven and have been given a new life. And Lord, we come to You this morning once again to ask You, please, to help us make peace with You and make peace with ourselves. Forgive our sins and strengthen us and help us to live lives that are pleasing to You. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us this morning. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.